Welcome to Eternal Truth Radio program brought to you by the Mill Street Church of Christ. The Mill Street Church of Christ meets at 415 North Mill Street in London, Kentucky. We assemble on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 10:50 a.m. for worship, as well as 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday evenings for evening worship. We also meet on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for a midweek Bible study. We'd be delighted to have you with us for any of these services. Should you like to have someone come to your home and study the Bible with you, or a free copy of today's program, or a free copy of Bible lesson through the mail, or if you have Bible questions, requests can be made by calling 234-5055 or 878-6108, or we can be reached on email at millstreetcoc@windstream.net. You might also pay us a visit online at our website at www.millstreetcoc.org. That's www.millstreetcoc.org, where you can listen to sermons and read articles on various Bible topics. Eternal Truth can be heard each Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10 o'clock on 1400 AM, WFTG. We invite you to continue listening and tell others about the program. And now, let's look into God's eternal truth together.
Good Sunday morning and welcome to another edition of Eternal Truth Radio broadcast. I'm Donnie Oliver. I'm so very thankful, listeners, that you are with us on the program today. That's very encouraging to us. We appreciate that very much. We know that individuals are busy in today's world, and it's certainly encouraging to us to know that there are people like you that have a disposition of mind, that they are interested in what the Bible says and will give their attention and their time to a study of God's Word. Let me encourage you on the program that if you have questions regarding the things that you hear on the program, or if you listen to the program and you would like to have a copy of the program on CD, or perhaps you would like to have a correspondence course by the mail so that you can study the Bible further at your own pace in the convenience of your own home, or if you are in need of a Bible, all of those things can be sent to you at absolutely no cost to you. We'll even pay for the postage to get them to you. If you listen to the program and your desire is that you would like for us to come to your home and study the Bible with you, we want you to know that we stand at the ready to do that. We'll assist you, listener, in whatever way that we can in your obedience to the gospel of Christ. And so please don't hesitate to contact us if we can be of assistance to you along those lines. Again, our contact information is 234-5055, or you can give us a call at 878-6108. Let me also take the time before we begin our lesson this morning and encourage you to pay us a visit online at www.millstreetcoc.org. And there you can listen to various sermons presented at the services of the Mill Street Church of Christ, or you can listen to Bible classes that are being presented. You can read Bible articles. You can even submit your Bible questions for us to look at those and give you a book, chapter, and verse answer for those questions. So give us a visit online. If you're in our area on the Lord's Day or on Wednesday evening, we encourage you to come and assemble with us. We meet at 415 North Mill Street in London, Kentucky, and you would be very welcome at any or all of our services. I encourage you to take your Bible out and follow along with me and ensure that what you hear on the program is in harmony with the Word of God. I'm not going to teach anything on this program that is not going to be in harmony with the Bible. But yet it behooves you, and it's in your best interest, to not take my word for anything, but to search the Scriptures and to see whether or not what I'm saying is in harmony with the Bible. If you find that it is not in harmony with the Bible, you're not going to offend me at all by contacting me and letting me know that. And if I teach anything that is not right, then I'll repent of that and make correction of it, never preach it again. But on the other hand, if you find that what I'm preaching is in harmony with the Bible, then I simply ask that you believe it, obey it, and teach it to others. So don't hesitate to contact us. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11 concerning the Bereans, the Bible says that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse number 13, the Apostle Paul, in writing to them, said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And so we encourage you to do that, to search the Scriptures to make sure that what you're hearing is what the Bible teaches. Well, if you've been listening to the program the past 5 weeks, then you'll remember that we have been engaged in a series of lessons that we've entitled The Lord's Prayer. Again, when individuals think about the Lord's Prayer, many times they go to Matthew chapter 6 or Luke chapter 4, and they think about the prayer that the Lord gave to the disciples to teach them to pray. You'll recall that in Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse number 1, the apostles came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." And so Jesus gave them that following prayer as a model. He did not, listener, give them that prayer for them to recite verbatim or by rote, just to be repeated word for word. He was using that to teach them how to pray. That's why in Matthew's account of it, Jesus said, "When you pray, pray after this manner." He didn't say repeat it word for word, but he's given them a manner to pray, a model to pray. But on this series of lessons, we've been dealing with the Lord's Prayer as recorded in John chapter 17. Now, we entitled it the Lord's Prayer because that's what it is. In John chapter 17, we have an entire chapter where it is recorded a prayer that Jesus prayed. Of course, this is before Jesus was arrested and then crucified, put to death. This is a prayer that he prayed to the Father. Now, we've noticed several points up to today's lesson. Actually, we've had at least 8 points, things that we could learn from John chapter 17. Last week and maybe the week before, I issued a challenge to you to read through John chapter 17, and you underscore in your Bible or write down on a piece of paper some lessons that you can learn and compare those with the ones that I'm presenting on the program and see if you come up with the same. So we've looked at least 8 points. We looked at the fact that in the 17th chapter of the book of John, in the very first verse, verse number 1, that the Bible says that Jesus lifted up this prayer to the Father. The Bible says in that verse that Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." Now, we spent some time in that lesson dealing with the fact that Jesus and the Father are not the same person. This very verse, listeners, attests to the fact that Jesus and the Father are not the same individual. Now, Jesus is referred to as God. That word God simply means deity. He is divine. That's found in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. We also know that God the Father is divine. We looked at that from Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. And the Holy Spirit is divine, referred to as God in Acts the 5th chapter. And so Jesus is not the Father. The Father is not the Son. Neither are any of those the Holy Spirit. But they are each divine, and they make up the one Godhead. And so we looked at that on the first lesson. We also looked at the fact that if you were to divide this chapter into two sections, you would basically have the Lord in the first section, the first 19 verses, praying on behalf of the apostles. And then beginning in John 17 and verse 20, throughout the rest of the chapter, you have Jesus praying on behalf of all of the believers that would believe on him through the words of the apostles. So we looked at that on the lesson. We looked at the fact that Jesus is eternal. Jesus left the glories of heaven to live on this earth and do the Father's will and pay the price that he did, shed his blood on the rugged cross of Calvary so that you and me could have the forgiveness of our sins if we'll only obey what the Bible says. We also looked at the fact that Jesus prayed for unity among the disciples. Unity is not something that is optional. It is something that is necessary in order if we're going to be pleasing to God. There's a host of passages that talk about that. Psalm 133 and verse number 1, Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Of course, Jesus prayed for it in John chapter 17 and a number of verses in this chapter. We understand that division is condemned, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Paul talked about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Ephesians 4 and verse number 3. And the only way that that is going to be possible is if we walk by the same rule and we mind the same things as stated by Paul in Philippians chapter 3 and in verse number 16. So we looked at that on the program. We looked at the fact that one is sanctified by the Word of God, John 17 and verse 17. We looked at that on last week's program. And so that brings us to our lesson today. We're going to try to look at least 2 points from John chapter 17. Again, these are several lessons that we learn from just this one chapter in the Bible. Again, go through this chapter and read it and underscore all the different lessons that one could learn. And you'll find that they are many. Now today on the program, we want to look at the fact that Jesus finished the work of God. Now Jesus stated in no uncertain terms in John chapter 17 and in verse number 4, Jesus said, I have glorified thee on the earth. Now listen to what he says. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Well, Jesus came to this earth, and what did he come for? Well, the Bible says in Luke 19, verse 10, that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, God gave Jesus a work to finish and to accomplish. And in this very passage, in John 17, verse number 4, Jesus is saying, I finished the work that you gave me to do. You see, Jesus coming to the world was the will of God, was it not? In John chapter 3 and verse number 16 and in verse number 17, the Bible says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so God sent his Son into the world because he wanted to redeem mankind. And that was only going to take place by a perfect sacrifice. And in fact, Jesus is the only one that could have provided that perfect sacrifice. You know, if you're the thinking of many today is that when Jesus came to the earth and he lived the life that he did and the Jews rejected him and they put him to death, the thinking of many people today is that God did not know that was going to happen, that that was not in the plan of God, that God was kind of blindsided by that. And so Jesus came to establish his kingdom, but since the Jews put him to death, and he just established the church to do until he comes back to establish his kingdom. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that everything that happened to Jesus, by the way, which was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, including the death on the cross, that the things that took place with the life of Jesus while he was on the earth was in God's eternal purpose, his plan. When you look at the book of Ephesians chapter 3, in verses 10 and 11, the Bible says in this passage, of course, Paul is writing to those at Ephesus. He's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now listen to what he says in verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so the things that took place concerning Jesus while he was on the earth was in the eternal purpose or mind of God. God knew it from the beginning. And things unfolded and they took place just as God knew about. And so we need to understand that. And so Jesus came to the earth and he did the work of God. In the book of Genesis chapter 3 and in verse number 15, we have that first prophecy concerning the coming of a Redeemer or the Messiah, the Son of God. In Genesis 3:15, God, speaking to the serpent, said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between her seed and thy seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Again, that's Genesis chapter 3 and in verse number 15. You'll recall that when Jesus was just a young boy, that his parents had gone to Jerusalem, then they left and were returning home, and they assumed that Jesus was in the company of the kinfolk. And then they got to missing him, and they went back to Jerusalem, and they found him in the temple. And the Bible says that they were worried about that, and they asked him, why have you done us this way? And Jesus responded by saying, as recorded in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, how is it that you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Now think about that. Jesus was just a young lad. He was just a young boy. And he said, I must be about my Father's business. Don't you know that? That's the question that he's saying to them. In John chapter 4 and in verse number 34, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Now notice what he says. And to finish his work. So that when we get to John 17 and verse 4, Jesus says, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You know, there's several sayings that Jesus made from the cross. One of those statements that he made as he was writhing in pain, as he was in agony, being suspended between heaven and earth, is to say, it is finished. That's recorded in John 19 and in verse number 30. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, if you turn over there with me, there's two verses that's contained in Hebrews chapter 10. These two verses really are a repetition. It's really a repeating. A lot of times the Bible will repeat things for emphasis. And in Hebrews 10 and verse number 7, concerning Christ, the Bible says, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. In verse number 9, he said, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. So there is no doubt that Jesus accomplished the Father's will. And what a blessing it is that he did that. You know, Jesus did not have to go to the cross. He went there willingly. He did the Father's will because he loves us, because God loves us. He did that willingly for you and for me and for all of mankind. Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse number 9 teaches us that Jesus tasted death for every man. I mean, think about the condition of man. Had Jesus not done that, had Jesus not went to the cross, had Jesus not shed his blood, which, by the way, is for the remission of sins, Matthew 26 and verse number 28, he shed it so that man's sins could be forgiven when men will obey the gospel of Christ. And to think, listeners, that there are people today who will not obey God. In spite of God's great love toward them, many times individuals will not obey God so that their sins can be forgiven. But the second thing that I want us to think about on the program today is the fact that the doctrine that Jesus taught was from God. Now, we live in a time when individuals think that doctrine doesn't matter. That truth is relevant. Whatever you think to be the truth, whatever I think is the truth, is the truth, as long as we're sincere about that. And they think that doctrine is not important. But listen, Jesus' teaching, the doctrine that he taught, was from God. Have you ever asked yourself the question, where was the source of Jesus' teaching? Where did it come from? Jesus affirms that his teaching was from the Father. Now notice what he says. He says, I have given them unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou hast sent me. Now that's what Jesus said. He says, the words that you gave me, I have given to them, and they know that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. That's John chapter 17, and in verse number 8. So again, Jesus affirms that the words that he taught was from the Father. In the book of John chapter 7, in verses 16 and 17, notice what the Bible says here. Jesus says, verse 16 of John 7, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You see, Jesus did not come to the earth and just make up whatever he wanted to make up, but he taught what the Father wanted him to teach. And that's contained in the Bible. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16 attest to the fact that truth as contained in the Bible originated with God and not with man. You see, Jesus taught the apostles while on earth, didn't he? He went about teaching people. He taught the apostles, and there was coming a time when Jesus was going to be taken from the earth. He was going to be put to death, raised on the third day, and then ascend back to heaven to sit on the right hand of God. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20 affirm that. But when he went back to heaven, he continued to teach. You see, how was the apostles going to remember everything that Jesus had taught them? It was not going to be humanly possible for them to do that. But Jesus told them in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, that when he left, he would send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to the apostles, and the Comforter would come from the Father, and he would guide them into all truth and bring back to their remembrance all things that Jesus taught them. Again, that's found in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. And so he continued to teach the apostles even after he ascended, but he did it through the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit. Now, what did they do with it? Well, they taught the people and they penned it down. You see that? The Word originated with God. He gave it to Christ. Christ gave it to the apostles through the Holy Spirit. The apostles taught people, and they penned it down. So that in Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5, we find that Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, stated this concerning the things that was revealed to him. He says, how that by revelation, Ephesians 3, verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Listen to what he says, verse 4, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by what? The Spirit. You see that? So the apostles received the mystery, or the knowledge of the mystery, by revelation, which came by the Holy Spirit. They penned it down so that when we read it, well, then we can understand what they knew and what was revealed to them. So much so that Paul said in Ephesians 5 and verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse number 37, Paul said, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Then he says in verse 38, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Ignorant means to be without knowledge. But we can know what God wants us to know by the writings of the Bible, but we have to read it, believe it, and obey it. I hope that the lesson has been of benefit to you. Again, if you have questions concerning the things that I've stated on the program, don't hesitate to call me. You can call me day or night, and I will help you, listener, in any way that I can to further your understanding of the Bible in the hopes that you'll obey it, that heaven will be your home in the afterwhile. You know, there's a lot of theories among men as to what makes one a Christian. You know, the Bible is clear on what one must do in order to become a Christian, and that will never change. Though heaven and earth pass away, the word of God will endure forever, Matthew 24:35. You become a Christian by doing what they did in the New Testament to become a Christian. That is to hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God before others, Matthew 10:32-33. Like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37 when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38, to arise to walk in newness of life, having been added to the church by the Lord. Acts 2:47. We stand at the ready to help you. We'll assist you in doing that. If you call us today and your desire is to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, we'll meet with you and we'll get that done. And you can go on your way rejoicing like the eunuch did in Acts 8. Until next time, we appreciate so very much, listener, you being with us on the program.
You've been listening to Eternal Truth Radio program brought to you each Sunday morning at this same time by the Mill Street Church of Christ. We appreciate you listening to the program and encourage you to continue doing so each Lord's Day. Be sure to tell others about the program, and if we can be of assistance to you in your obedience to the gospel of Christ, give us a call at 234-5055 or 878-6108. And until next week, spend time meditating on God's eternal truth.